Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
The Match Ball.
Hello, welcome to the show. Brought to you by Levi Solicitors. 10% discount on your legal fees at levisolicitors.co.uk/thesquareball. Dan, Michael and Moscow with you on YouTube and audio as well. The weekly show where we wrap up everything that's going on in the world of Leeds. Tough at the minute, isn't it? Before we get round to all that, quick mention of TSB Plus as well. This week for our members, we've got a Tony DiRigo two-parter over on the Extra Ball where we reminisce about the joys of 1991-1992. So if you can't stand the present day, that's the place to head.
It's definitely the best way. I was watching old episodes of Top of the Pops the other night as a way of escaping Everton's win.
Excellent. And we've got a new show as well out for members. Propaganda Extra, more of the stuff that you love from that show as well. And this week, featuring a splendid clip from a motivational speaker, very much like Jake Humphrey, two peas in a pod, you'd imagine.
High performance people.
Yeah, upping your Elvis. That is over on the Extra Ball feed. Have a look at that. If you want details on that, have a look at thesquareball.net/plus. Part one is the news then, and Stuart Dallas has a fractured femur, which we were talking about shattered kneecaps on the Match Ball, weren't we? About how that sounded bad. This sounds mega bad.
I actually watched this back because I didn't properly know what had happened. It doesn't look all that bad, does it, weirdly? Like, it feels like you see worse things in games, but you can tell.
Do you think he's made a meal of it?
It's awful to watch because he's obviously in a huge amount of pain. There's a bit where Phillips comes over to him and he kind of almost like holds his hand for a little bit of it. It's quite touching. It's like, oh God.
Yeah, you knew, I mean, joking apart, you knew, didn't you, when he's pounding the turf like he was, and he was just calling to the bench, come see me. I'm like, oh, this don't look good.
I always remember that with when Alan Smith broke his leg. And the first person to him was the referee, and he was sitting there and he kind of put his hand up and started, like, as if he was clambering up to hold on to a parent or something. Obviously, I wasn't quite as sympathetic as I was about Stuart Dallas, because I'm a terrible human.
He's going to be a miss, though, isn't he? Because he's played basically all of our Premier League games since we came back up, and we're a bit light on bodies at the minute.
And he was basically the backup plan for any position that needed filling, wasn't he? So... yeah, and based on Junior Firpo's left-back appearance, maybe would have liked him there as well for some games. But yeah, he's going to be a huge miss. And the number of games he started for us recently and just his place within, you know, other Leeds United modern greats as well. Like
266 appearances.
Nigel Martin and Lucas is in that kind of a ballpark, just past Lee Bowyer's appearances for us on the weekend. So yeah, just get well soon for him, I suppose. It's going to be a very long time, you would imagine, till we see him again.
Yeah, honestly, get well soon. It looked bloody horrible, didn't it? And he's just an all-round good egg, is Dallas, isn't he? Of all the players you could take a dislike to in the squad, you could find reasons if you wanted to carve one out for just about any of them. Stuart Dallas, I don't think I could.
We're trying to think of one now, aren't we? What has Stuart Dallas ever done to upset me? Nothing, really. He's fine, isn't he?
Exactly.
And it's with Liam Cooper being injured as well, we're kind of running short on experience for the running as well.
The whole thing this weekend has just felt like everything has gone wrong. Unbreakable Stuart Dallas, Cooper, who has been our best player since returning, all the other results going against us. It's not been very much fun.
From adversity.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? Yeah, that's the one completely counterintuitive thing that you hang on to. It's like, well, maybe from here, this is the redemption story of Leeds United this season, is that against all odds, we managed to claw it back.
Do it for Stewie.
We just limply go down.
Yeah, could be either. I hope it's the former rather than the latter, but, you know, here we are. And Cooper, I think Cooper's going to be a miss as well, because we've obviously looked a lot steadier at the back since he's been in.
he might be all right. It might have just been that game. And
did we had any more on it? On,
just
on
said not? He felt weird. He had a weird feeling in his knee, said Jesse. So he didn't play, but he went and sat on the bench instead. But then it was noticeable that when Dallas was injured, but Llorente was never warming up. It was Charlie Creswell was out getting ready. But I think, you know, we've said Charlie's got the confidence that I wouldn't mind him playing in the rest of the games. And then trying to think of who can play right back. Jamie Shackleton just come fit. And I think he could fit in this team quite well. So from a footballing point of view, your hope will be okay. And also so that Stuart Dallas can then just concentrate on getting his leg better without worrying about who's going to play right back.
And from a terrible weekend, it seems like just the perfect time to launch some crypto assets.
Why
do you hate the people of Ukraine, Dan?
As demonstrated by our when we sold those fungible t-shirts, you get a real life t-shirt in exchange for handing over some of your money. We've given all the profits of that to Ukraine charities, UNICEF.
At the F Off Bob t-shirts, you mean?
Yeah, this is right, yeah. So just to say, if you missed this one, we raised, thanks to you, over 4,100 quid, which I think we can be proud of. The NFTs, I'm not so sure about. Do you know what it feels like to me? Because I'm feeling quite nihilistic about Leeds United. It feels to me like Andrea Ratrazzani has probably wanted to do some NFTs for ages, and this is the way they've managed to get it through with him.
Yeah, they've gone, we'll do it for charity, and we'll chuck in some extra stuff too, because in fairness, you get the NFT, which to my mind is utterly worthless, but you do also get some hospitality tickets and a pitchside tour and to go to a training session and stuff. And that's fungible stuff that you get as a result of the non-fungible.
So what is the NFT of then? Is it a picture
of the back of the shirt?
Is it an actual picture of the actual shirt or is it a digital mock-up?
It's a digital mock-up and it spins around and it's got the signature of the player on it.
Right.
Like a drawing of the signature of the player.
Because I saw the pictures that people had clipped and it looked shit.
Yeah, it looked shit. Mm. I mean, that's the thing is this doesn't work. I mean, leaving lots of things aside, it doesn't even work as an NFT because that's why you need all the hospitality tickets and the pitch side tour and all that stuff to make it valuable. And then there are, people will tell you that there are like viable use cases for NFTs in the metaverse that people want to create where they can actually unlock things. They will do things. They'll give you access to games and experiences online that you need to have the NFT technology so it can be managed by the blockchain. All these things will happen because it is an NFT. This is literally the worst use of them, which is just putting a picture on the internet and selling the URL to it. There is nothing to it apart from that it offers nothing. And then the only thing it does offer, which I suppose you could say is true of actual t-shirts as well, is resale value. Because once you take away any kind of, like there's a certain kind of genre of like cyberpunky art around NFTs that they all have this kind of look. This doesn't have any of that. So there's none of that value. And then it doesn't have any actual utility. So there's none of that value. So the only thing you can do with it is look at it and it looks horrible or hope it appreciates in value and sell it. And that money won't be going to Ukraine because it's just, they will be auctioned off. That money will be donated. And then you will have your Calvin Phillips NFT. And the only reason to own it then is to, you know, occasionally you can show it on your phone. But I mean, I can do that by just going to the website and say, look at that. So ownership is kind of...
Yeah, but you won't own it and I think you're pathetic.
And the only benefit of owning it is that it might appreciate in value and then I can sell it and profit. And that's not what the point of raising money for charity is.
Is there a Lawrence de Bock one? He's still ours, isn't he?
Yeah, he wasn't wearing these. I mean, he could have worn it, given these are digital shirts. Maybe he put one on.
He is more use than this. Yeah,
I do worry that this is the start of NFTs. With Leeds, because Maker's Place, where these are being sold, is a website where these are sold.
Is this the gateway drug, Michael?
I do wonder.
Is this the wacky backy? Are you going to be on the NFT heroin soon?
I mean, I won't be buying any, as you can well imagine. It's because it's worthless essentially, and they don't even look nice, as we've pointed out. There's really nothing to be said for them. The open training session, I could go to that. I wouldn't mind that. Going to the hospitality. Our hospitality tickets are really expensive as well. Now we're in the Premier League, so.
There is a
value to those. Yeah, the hospitality tickets are for the Brighton game, which is our final Premier League game. So that's a big game to
at home
to go to as well. Yeah, final home game. So that's good. But I'm intrigued to see where this goes with it because I feel like this is something that with the socios stuff and the way Radrizzani seems to be.
If he...
He likes disrupting stuff.
If he wants to disrupt and he wants to make money off NFTs, maybe he should NFT his Adam Forshaw tweet, because that one is going to be used in evidence against him quite heavily, I feel, in the next few weeks.
I mean, we did hire, January 2021, Aaron Duckmanton became our head of global content and digital strategy, and he heads up, like, headed up the Leeds Fury launch, and he did all the press when we launched on TikTok. So expanding into this world is kind of his domain. And before he locked his Twitter account, I don't know if he did that this weekend or before, one of his few tweets, he's not a rampant tweeter, was kind of a rocket emoji, we are all going to the moon, Elon Musk style crypto tweet. So he has he's a fellow with the, you know, head of global content and digital strategy at Leeds United Football Club. I know a lot of people have been going off at Chad Hurley, who seemed quite bemused because he's...
Chad, we should say, is everyone's favourite YouTube founder and also a very minority shareholder in 49ers Enterprises.
He put some money into 49ers Enterprises, who then bought part of Leeds United and, you know, has tweeted his support for Leeds and his investment. He's now getting told he's part of the board, which...
He's not.
He's no more part of the board than LL Cool J, but... There are people hired by the people who are on the board who are responsible for doing this, and the fact that we have somebody whose job this is. I mean, I suppose from one angle, it is the future, and Leeds Fury seems like that's fine for people who want to play video games against Leeds fans. Like, that's perfectly fine. And there are maybe, I don't really buy it, but possibilities for NFTs and all that kind of stuff in the future. But this internet, this is the worst example of NFT usage you can come up with.
It's the timing as well, because I was thinking about this last night. Why has this annoyed people? And I think it's about sort of context and timing, isn't it? And the content of it as well, which is pretty naff as it stands. Do you remember, I resolved on this, do you remember studying at school, and every school kid studies this, do you remember Maslow's hierarchy of needs, which was it's the pyramid of stuff that you need to survive and thrive in life? So at the bottom, basically, the bottom part of the pyramid is you need a roof over your head, you need food, shelter, that kind of thing. And as you get further and further up, it's to do with like aspiration and self-actualization and stuff. It feels to me like Leeds United is, to sort of transpose that into a football context, they're trying to do all the stuff at the top of the pyramid with this at the moment when we're not very good at the football side of it.
Central midfielders exactly. At the bottom of the pyramid.
Like, at the minute, we're not very good at being a football team.
Mm.
So I think all the stuff that goes above it is annoying people.
Yeah, I think if we win this weekend and Burnley and Everton have both lost, they kind of get away with this.
Much less annoyed. Everybody's very ready.
Like, well, that's shit, but whatever. Whereas as it is, people are like, well, that's shit, and I'm going to tell you about it.
And we didn't have a midfielder when we've been crying out for one for 4 years or whatever it is.
But the argument will be that, you know, socios and whatever going forward all will bring in money, and so we will be able to spend that on midfielders. But, you know, I can live without midfielders.
Your socios,
honestly, I'd rather just have a club that I like.
Your socios token is worth $1.75 today, by the way.
It's all just drop.
At one point, it was as high as $8 by the looks of it. Oh, well. I'm sure your NFT can only gain in value.
Well, the thing to compare your Leeds token against is Chili's, the thing that the people who are running it actually own. And that's gone up. That's only up last day. Oh no, it's gone down. Month, 3 months.
It's gone down.
If you do it to 3 months, it's gone way, way up, and then it's gone down, and over a year. It's almost like these things are really volatile, and you shouldn't just be idly flogging them to people without them understanding the risks or there being any kind of regulatory oversight. The website Web3 is going great is a really useful way of tracking all the ways that people are finding to have their money stolen from them. So when, for example...
Stolen. That's a very emotive term, Moscow.
Well, yeah, I mean, the Bored Ape project, which is one that everybody knows about, they were launching a new part of the project, and some people just launched some fake sites that looked like the new project and stole NFTs valued at $6 million from people.
What were they actually worth, though?
But at the moment, you can sell them for $6 million. So,
it's a mad old world, isn't it? I was going to say one of the funniest bits was the execution of this as well, where, you know, somebody who represents the left hand in this particular example wasn't talking to the right hand, because the caption at the top of the page was the drop, as in the moment that these things drop, but framed around a terrible weekend of like relegation action, it doesn't look good, does it? I mean, and that segues us into relegation watch, so that's not gone away, has it?
No.
No, it's very here, front and centre.
Well, we're not going to worry about Norwich anymore. They're not catching us. That's good.
That's a great relief. It's a load off my mind that I don't have to worry about Norwich no more. Although little Sam Byron going back to the Championship, it's bad news for him.
Getting back next year.
Just on relegation watch, I mean, this has just been confirmed as we are recording. Listening to this, you will know that Everton's game with Brentford, which is the penultimate weekend, has been moved from 2 o'clock, which is when we play Brighton, to 4:30. So at the minute we finish against Brighton, Everton will have 3 games to play.
Well, if we win some games between now and then, it's a good bit of pressure to heap on them. If we don't, then I'll probably just go for a walk while those games are on.
I think it's for the best, isn't it?
I'm not keen on them always knowing what they have to do. So we played before them this weekend, and we're going to play before them that weekend.
Mind you, when we were on the way to getting promoted, we had to play after everybody for about 6 weeks, didn't we? So there's no nice way to do it, is there really?
Maybe play at the same time.
That's a way of doing it.
Yep. But that's not going to happen, is it? Because Sky...
It's got to be on television.
Yeah. Relegation watch. Norwich are relegated now. That come as a surprise?
Oh, I've not seen that coming for at least 9 months.
Do you think anybody's contacted their sporting director? Probably halfway up the Himalayas at the moment.
That's Leeds fan. Is it Stuart Webber?
Yeah.
Yeah. Who's not asked, is he, about his job there?
Not remotely.
Watford are all but confirmed as well. If they drop any more points between now and the end of the season, then they're gone. Or us or Burnley need to get one more point each.
Which is doubtful for us.
Which is more likely.
But now, Watford, well, Notford and Warwich, you know, might as well stick with that.
Notford and Warwich, yeah.
The Notfords of this world who just come up and go down.
Who's put this on the sheet? Wins for Villa and Palace mean they are now totally out of it.
They are, aren't they?
I think Villa are going to be quite instrumental in it because they play twice against, is it Burnley? Yeah, they do, don't they?
They are, but they're not going down, are they?
Do Southampton and Brentford just need to keep an eye on things?
Nah,
well,
fine.
They play each other on Saturday, so assuming one of them wins, Southampton after that have got Liverpool at home and then Leicester away. Brentford have got Everton away and then us at home. So a defeat for either could spell a little bit of trouble because we're about to go on a hot streak towards the end of the season. We are.
Oh, that's good news. Oh, I'll put my feet up and relax then. I thought we were losing all the time.
Do you subscribe to the idea there might yet be twists and turns in this? Because I do. I know I'm talked over on propaganda about being at the bargaining stage of grief, but it doesn't feel like this race is run yet, even though it was a terrible, terrible weekend for us all round.
Well, we're still not in the bottom three, are we?
No.
I know Everton have got a game in hand, but we're not there yet, and they're far from guaranteed to win it because they're... I'll leave Moscow to say those things.
Well, we're in better form over the last 5 games. Everton are lose, win, draw, lose, win. We're win, draw, lose. So that's better for us. Theirs is not as good. So that's good.
Is there any chance we can play Watford again?
I mean, that would help. Yeah, we need to play those teams again. But we saw... Oh, it's just really annoying. Palace draw all their games at quite low scores. So 0-0 at Palace is kind of par. So it's an expected result. And then losing 4-0 to Man City is also par. That's what you'd expect to get from them. So if we're doing kind of what everybody else does against people, then Arsenal have lost 11 games. So we can make it 12.
That's good.
Well, they've only drawn 3, so it's win or lose against them, isn't it? And why can't it be win?
I do suspect if we're going to pip anybody and get out of this, it might be Burnley.
Well, you do think they can't just keep winning games, can they? They're going to end up finishing like 9th if their current form continues, which would be completely wrong of them.
Because they've got Villa home, Spurs away, Villa away, and Newcastle at home. That I don't think that's an easy sequence of fixtures. I know ours aren't easy. We've got a couple of really tough games in there. Both Brighton and Brentford won't be easy, but it is just do or die time, isn't it? If we don't win any of ours, then we obviously deserve to go down.
Are you going to talk us through the reassuring statistical analysis of the 538 project?
Nope.
Or whatever projection thing
I,
that you
I
go
only,
through?
I only wanted to fall back on those statistics when they favoured us.
Yeah, so we're now in the bottom three, according to that, with a 45% chance of relegation.
They think we will finish on 37 points, Everton 38, Burnley 38.
I must admit, I've gone through the results loads of times being pessimistic and optimistic, and whichever way I do it, there's never more than like 3 points between us, Everton and Burnley.
It's going to go to the wire, isn't it?
It's all really tight.
If there's a way that Leeds are going to do it, it's to do it in this sort of fashion, isn't it? That's the one thing that I cling on to.
The only thing I can sort of eye as a prediction over the next couple of weeks is because Everton's next 2 games are away, and they've only won 1 away all season, and it has felt like Goodison, the fortress, has been a big part in their recent form. That have had a little run of home games, and the crowd and all that kind of stuff has got them going. Leicester away be a different thing, and it would be great if they lost to Watford away.
Which there's every chance of as well with Watford.
If they can't win away, then...
With Watford down, pressure Watford, off.
Roy Hodgson's probably going to start himself in that game.
Admittedly, Watford's home wins is 2, and they were both ages ago, but...
Roy Hodgson in net in sunglasses.
Weird things can happen if their pressure goes off, because Watford on the beach might be different to Crystal Palace on the beach, for example. They may all be enthused by the sight of Roy Hodgson in shorts.
We have
relaxed.
Talking about
over.
Project 538, like we've gone from 10% to 18% likely to go down to now 45%.
The thing is, when we were 10% likely to go down, they had us finishing on 38 points. We're now in the bottom three, and they're predicting us on 37. So really, we've not particularly, our trajectory has not changed all that much.
So it's one point's difference.
It's not our fault, and it's not fair.
So your algorithm's bollocks?
Yes.
Great. And that's the safest conclusion
and
to
that's
draw
why
from
Donald this. Trump won the election.
Yes. Because they forecasted Hillary, we should say. The guy who runs this whole thing actually tweeted out, "We're calling it for Hillary," and he was wrong.
And now you've still chosen to use his data. Well done, Dan.
He's calling it for Burnley.
Yeah. So are we the Donald Trump in this? I think we might be. 23s have finished their season as well. They might be going down. Great.
Not yet relegated. Could be. Yeah, if Chelsea win their game.
They need 2 points, don't they, or something? Or
then we are down.
I'm not sure they will.
But they play Spurs, don't they, who are decent. Spurs are sixth, and... our games are all done, so there's nothing we can do now.
Look, we might just get it all out of the way in one go.
Double relegation, get it finished.
There's only the women who have done us proud this season, isn't it? They finished their season with a 5-1 win over Chester Street, who are second bottom. They beat Liverpool Feds, the only defeat that the Feds had this season, wasn't it? The Leeds win, which is great news.
Mm.
The Feds did seal their promotion with a 6-1 win over, this can't even be a real team, United of Manchester. Not having that.
United of Manchester Football Club.
Yeah,
they finished a distant 10th. Leeds are just the 19 points behind promoted Liverpool Feds. Mm. Newcastle still got a game to go but can't catch them, and played in front of 22,000 St James's Park.
Bloody hell.
It's a lot of people went to see them. The takeover, it seems the Saudi state are really promoting women's football. So that everybody just concentrates on what's going on Tyneside and doesn't look at what's happening in...
Promoting women's driving much, or that's still not allowed?
Not a great deal.
How many are Annick Town getting after their season of 21 games, 0 wins, 2 draws so far? That's a tough watch, isn't it? We shouldn't moan, really, about Leeds United.
They've got one game left as well, according to this table. I'd be tempted, if I was them, just to concede the 9 and get it up to 100 goals against. You want it's something to aim for, isn't
it?
It's kind of achievable, and you've got to... do what you can do.
I think we mentioned on this podcast before, when Swindon were in the Premier League in the mid-90s, that we relegated them. Well, they were down anyway, but on the final day they'd conceded 95 and we went there and beat them 5-0, didn't we? To round it up to 100, I remember that very well.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Arsenal at the weekend. Ready for that? You're looking forward to it?
I suppose so. I want these games out of the way. I'd be quite up for us playing all of our games back-to-back. Just one straight after, rolling straight into the next, so I know exactly what has happened.
They've been trying to do that too. Well, thinking about it for creating more interest in the Champions League semi-finals. Mm. It seems not enough people care about those really like thrilling games, having them all at once.
Do you think that doing our relegation back-to-back-to-back-to-back relegation running, I should say, it's not confirmed yet, would be the festival of football they're trying to promote for the Champions League?
Yes. Take Leeds, Everton and Burnley and all our opponents to a Mediterranean island with fireworks and paper. Great combination, those two together. And just have a week. See how it pans out. Whoever actually is on the flight back, they can stay in the Premier League.
The most players that make it back in one piece. Arsenal, they're having a weird season, aren't they? They're likely to finish top four, but it's absolutely impossible to know exactly what they're going to do on any given week because they're quite streaky. They go on a winning run and then they go on a losing run and then they go on another winning run and they lose some more.
It's hard for Arsenal fan TV because they don't feel comfortable to dig in on any one position because they just as they kind of get into the Arteta shit, Arsenal need better. They then win like four games in a row and like, oh, okay. Can stay for a bit and I suppose it does look like we're in the top four and we have got a young team. But hang on, we've lost 3-0 at Palace. He needs to go and it's just nowhere to put them.
And they lost to Brighton as well.
They looked really good when they played at Elland Road earlier in the season.
Brighton have broken the algorithm as well, by the way, Moscow. You know, they've gone past their allocated 9 wins every season.
It is probably their greatest season in the modern era, isn't it?
I think it is.
They've won 10 games. But amazing. We just stop there if I was them.
I was going to say, we digress anyway. Arsenal, what's going to happen? How do you feel about it? Never mind what's going to happen. How do you feel about it?
I feel like maybe we'll get something from this and I don't know why.
I think this is going back to the kind of hope is all we have left now.
Possibly. Kind of I feel like it was so easy for them earlier in the season against our setup because essentially it was just Martinelli and Saka running past fullbacks, Odegaard with loads of space in the middle and the whole thing just didn't function properly. And I feel like they'll be coming up against something very different this time around.
Yeah.
Admittedly, it could be different in the way that there's no width and we can't attack, but at least they shouldn't score as easily.
We lulled them into a false sense of security at Elland Road. Is that what you're saying? Yes. Like we planned it.
Yes.
Prepared it by playing just a bunch of kids and losing 4-1.
There was an element of that though, wasn't there, with Man City, if you think about it, like the switch between the first game where we got pummeled being wide open at 7-0 and we got pummeled at 4-0 not being quite as wide open, but it wasn't really a, like you said, it was a 3-1 game, I think you said on Propaganda. You probably have accepted that, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Where's Benjamin White?
He's injured at the moment, I think.
Is he?
So we've got their best 11 that who scored have put it on there.
Well, that's from the last game, is that lineup that's on the sheet. So yeah, Ben White doesn't seem to have played, so I think I can only assume he's out injured. But Eddie Nketiah played the last game, so it'd be nice to see him again, maybe.
Do you think he's bribeable?
That's libelous to say, probably. I'm going to say no.
No, it's just your opinion as to whether he might be.
Who's the most bribeable in the Arsenal team, do you think?
I don't think we should get into this.
Well, Emile Smith Rowe is already a Leeds hero.
That's so true.
We could ask him to...
Ask him for a favour. No money will change hands.
No, exactly. Yeah. Let's say, rather than asking who is bribeable, who is the most generous of spirit?
Granit Xhaka.
Yeah.
He's due a red card. I'm sure he deserved one last time we played them, as I remember, and I can't remember what he did. I just remember I didn't like it.
This was the game, and I don't know if anything ever settled from it, but wasn't he being investigated for the betting on that card? Remember?
Maybe he was.
Well, he was.
Good.
There was a big investigation about betting patterns going into the last 10 minutes.
And we've heard no more since.
Lots of money going on Granit Xhaka to get booked, and lo and behold, he did, meaningless, and I think he was time-wasting when they were 4-1 up. So, but all the reporting around that stressed that there was no suspicion being placed upon him personally, so we should probably join in on that. And also, he was in the Swiss under-21s team with Gaetano Berardi, and he's a good judge of character, so he'll probably say he's a good lad.
He's just a normal man, an innocent man.
Yeah. It's nice that Berardi got such a sing-song on Saturday. A bit strange, but I felt like that was the biggest song after marching on together was for Berardi.
Well, we always do this, don't we? We hide in comfortable places when things are going bad.
That's what I was saying about Marsh's maybe not quite understanding the nuances of the way a Leeds crowd act when things are going badly. Like, we'll just start singing about Don Matteo because there's nothing else to do. It's just like, well, let's just have a fun time while not watching what is actually taking place in front of us.
Speaking of the past.
More about what songs do we like rather than
what's going on in front of us. Speaking of the past, there are unavoidable parallels with us going there in an all blue kit, admittedly a Chelsea one in this case, with when we went down last time and we saved ourselves.
We didn't go down.
At Arsenal. That's what I'm saying. It was the season after we went down, wasn't it? But
yeah, and a darker blue kit and we lost 5-0.
But we rescued ourselves at Arsenal. Admittedly, Highbury, not the Emirates, but let's not get into that.
Still London.
But that it's
basically the same place.
It's irresistible as a prospect, isn't it?
I mean, I'd rather we were going to Watford again, to be honest.
But we're not. It's time
that would
to,
be nicer.
It's time to face up to the truth here, is that we need to pull something out of the bag. So let's start on Sunday.
I mean, the other thing about that game, if we're looking for parallels, is that we were all over the place in terms of the team lineup and injuries we had. And I'm just
Simon Johnson played, didn't he?
Memory. Simon Johnson came off the bench, and it's listed here as a 5-3-2, but I'm pretty sure we ended up with Dominic Mateo and Lucas Radebe were playing in midfield. And we had a back four of Kelly, Mills, Hart, and Dewberry. Eric Backer, Harry Kewell, Jason Wilcox also on the pitch. So it was like Kewell and Viduka up front, Backer and Wilcox as wide midfielders. Lucas Radebe and Dom Mateo, centre midfield, and then that back four. And Paul Robinson in goal, because obviously we'd sold Nigel Martin for... Oh no, Martin would have been on the bench still, wouldn't he?
Yeah, this was a season we were playing Robinson, even though we had Martin.
So even with that self-sabotage of a lineup, we went there and won.
So this is the day that Rafinha, then, to draw the modern parallel, Rafinha goes there. This is his virtuoso performance before he goes.
Is he, I mean, physically speaking, would you say Gallagher's got a bit more of the Vidukas about him?
Yep.
Bit of a stock, bit of a big arse on him. Not as tall, but...
Well, he could be. Still not sure.
He could be as tall?
Yes.
Yeah, you're suggesting he's still going to continue to grow at that rate?
Well, we've discussed this. I'm still not sure if Gellhart is a tall person or a short person.
I was reading an article the other day about men getting plastic surgery during lockdown. And do you know there's an operation you can have that makes you 4 inches taller? They basically break your femurs and put in an expanding titanium bar.
Hang on a minute.
That your bone grows around.
Just think of Paul Stewart Dallas.
Is he going to come back? A six and a half foot monster.
But yeah, it's done. It was pioneered as a thing to make people who actually have differently sized limbs to correct that. But now it's become a thing that...
So basically, like, the bone grows in the gap.
Yeah. I think the thing that they put in, it expands very slowly. So the bone kind of grows a bit at a time.
I mean, it's the one place Dallas hasn't played is goalkeeper. So if he added 4 inches, he might come back as a new number one.
Mm. Do it to Melia as well.
Although I'm just...
And his arms.
Actually, I mean, I'm just looking at the tweets because Dallas has just tweeted in the last quarter of an hour as we record this Tuesday afternoon. And he's saying...
I'll be fit for the weekend.
Thanks and so on. I've had amazing support, blah, 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 blah. Doctors, great stuff. Support I've received has meant the world to me and my family. Now it's time to focus on my rehab. I will be back from this stronger than ever.
He probably will as well.
4 inches taller.
Bigger than ever. You never hear him say bigger than ever, do you? But it's always an option.
Feels like we're skirting around what's going on at the Emirates at the weekend, because Arsenal, strengths and weaknesses, we always blather on about this.
Well, because it's created by the highly tuned algorithm at whoscored.com that has never let us down over the last decade of doing this podcast.
Weak at avoiding individual errors. We can capitalise on that. That's Rafinha, isn't it? Like, much like Rodrigo did against Man City.
Capitalise on those turn-ups. That's why I was thinking of, it wasn't Consuegra who scored. He gave the ball to Rodrigo.
And we've got aerial duels as well. Dan James up there winning headers, defending against long shots.
We don't really do that.
We'll click. Mm. 30 yards, 40 yards. Don't do that. We just did the t-shirts with him. He's our friend.
Well, when did he last score from outside the box?
Well, this weekend.
Okay.
I know that's projecting your question into the future, but let's be nice. Bob.
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? What do we expect from Arsenal? They are a good team. I mean, objectively, a better team than we are, but this doesn't feel as bad as it did going into the Man City game.
They're beatable because they're idiots.
Right.
Man City are just impenetrable. Same with Liverpool. You can't do anything. Whereas Arsenal, you kind of can. And I know last season disproved all that, because what did we do at their place? We lost, didn't we?
We were 4-0 down within about half an hour, weren't we? although weirdly, we did then score, and it felt like we might have a comeback, strangely, because of the way we used to be.
And we had that FA Cup match as well when we were brilliant in the first half. Mm. And
it was Melier's debut, was it?
It was.
So essentially, there's no recent evidence to suggest we're going to win down there.
Well, there's no recent evidence to suggest we'll win anywhere unless you look back more than the City game.
How do you think we'll set up in this one? Do you think he'll go for a similar to Man City?
I think he'll pick 11 players, the fit ones. I think they're going
to
play.
Do you think he'll try and do similar to what we did to Man City there, though? Because it worked to a point because he said it felt like a win.
I think he might do, but starting Rafinha as a wing back seems like a hell of a move.
Well, I mean, I've got Shackleton suspicions. I think he may come in there, and I wouldn't mind that.
And
you're
possibly likely to see one of Cooper or Llorente back in, aren't you, as well, which would then free up Ayling to go further out.
Yeah, so he could do that. But just as long as we don't do what we did against Palace.
Which is what, offer nothing attacking?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're at the point now where I think the point against Palace seemed like a good point. Maybe we need to actually be a bit more progressive in some of these things.
Goal difference isn't really something we can cling to, is it, either? No. So just like go for broke.
Unless we're going to win 15-0 in this game, which seems unlikely.
I mean, we're worrying about who's going to play right back, left back. Maybe we just forget about it and we just go, you know, Joffy, Greenwood, James, Rodrigo, Rafinha, Harrison, Max Dean, Matteo Joseph.
Cresswell can do a job up front.
He can. He can be the
Archie Gray.
Target man. Archie Gray.
Yeah.
I mean, just play. We've got Mark Jackson in as assistant manager, so we might as well play the kids.
Mm.
Attackers and children. That's what I think will work.
Works for me.
Great. I'm going to go for a Leeds win. Why not? That's all I've got left now.
Yeah, why not?
That's all I've got left.
Yeah. Do you know what? The thing is with being pessimistic.
You're more often than not right.
You're more often than not right, but you don't get anything from it because you just get to go, oh, I knew that was bad. At least when you're optimistic, I suppose you get a moment of living in a complete fantasy.
I'm not actually genuinely optimistic. It's blind optimism, but like I said, it's my final refuge now in this season because I've had enough of it. I want it to be over. It will be in about 3.5 weeks, one way or another.
We need a twist in our favour at some point, don't we?
Mm. Yeah, there's a slightly different tone to next weekend because Burnley are playing Villa on the Saturday and then us and Everton away at Leicester is at the same time. So which game do you watch? Do we watch Leeds at Arsenal? Do we watch Everton at Leicester? But yeah, that'll be quite exciting, won't it? Checking the scores, goal flash from Filbert Street.
Filbert Street.
It's near there. It's still Filbert adjacent.
Yeah, it doesn't sound that exciting to me.
You'll love it next Sunday. You might not be able to imagine it as a good time. I can't guarantee it will be a good time, but maybe it will be not a terrible time.
So I'm going Leeds win, Michael.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah, why not?
Moscow.
Yes.
3 Leeds wins. Great.
We get 9 points for that.
And we'll pick a Ken Bates villain of the week first out of heroes and villains. Who do we have for nominations for villains of the week? We've got loads that have come in from our TSB Plus members. Should we start with Lucy?
I mean, Lucy's covered all of them.
So we should just read out Lucy's, really.
More or less.
I mean, did get a follow-up tweet from Lucy, who forgot NFTs, by the way, from this list.
That hadn't happened then.
Yeah,
so it's an update.
It's good that she's keeping it up to date, though.
Good admin skills, wanting to let us know about that, yeah. Making our life easier.
If anybody knows Lucy, I would just, like, watch your step.
Yeah, so...
feels like quite an angry person at the moment.
Let's do Lucy's list.
I mean, these all say, to save time, I'll just say these all say, can fuck off at the end of them as well. It's Everton, Burnley, Man City, Chelsea, Watford, Frank Lampard and his comb over, injuries, Jack Grealish's brummy face, whoever decided paper sheets on the seats was a good idea, officials in the under-23 game, the dicks who threw paper at Rafinha, hope and optimism, the Premier League, and then NFTs tagged on the end.
I mean, to be fair to Lucy, Lucy did say, did I forget anyone?
And she did.
Left it open for any corrections that needed to happen, so excellent, good work, Lucy. Yeah, we got quite a few multi-nominations, didn't we? Stuart Dallas's FEMA, Mike Jackson and the Burnley Renaissance, which is a good name for a band. Quite like that one. Apparently us as well, us, because we have somehow influenced the football gods to make this happen. This is Suicidal Pete saying we shouldn't have rubbished Burnley and Frank Lampard, only to be usurped by both.
They are rubbish, though.
By telling me we only need 35 points. Well, that was a fair target at that point. Mm. I mean, if there's any club that can... you know, buck the trend in that regard.
Relegated with 45.
It's Leeds, isn't it? Are you Bielsa's love child, Moscow?
I'd love to be. Because... if he turned out to be my dad, I mean, no disrespect. That's a weird thing to say later on, isn't it? No disrespect, dad. However, but you've been...
if you were replaced by Marcelo Bielsa.
You did a decent job.
However,
if I could go back.
I wouldn't choose you again.
No, I mean, given that the choice, I'll be quiet now.
Right, because Pete is accusing you of only seeing, of failing to see, sorry, that Bielsa only had one plan, which was all found out in year two, etc.
I will say optimism or pessimism either way from us, or indeed anyone else, none of it matters.
No.
Don't make any difference.
No.
I mean, it might make if you're in the stadium, it might make a tiny difference, but probably not as much difference as you think it makes.
And as you've seen from the example on Saturday, pumped 4-0, and the stadium's singing like we've just won, so there's no... No real problem with that in that regard, is there?
The bigger part being played, as Marvin points out, is by the ancient Egyptians.
Mm. Great bunch of lads generally.
They had much more influence for inventing paper. So that ultimately led to Gary Neville having a go at a six-year-old scum prick, which is true. He did pick in particular on the child whose role in Grealish's corner taking I was celebrating. And, you know, if we are highlighting the actions of a child, it should be to celebrate their achievements, not to heap shame upon them, as Gary Neville attempted to do.
And as Tom points out, he said Gary Neville almost definitely sends his kids to bed at 6 o'clock with the lights out at 6:30 in the summer. That was always weird, wasn't it, going to bed during the summertime when there's lights still coming through the curtains.
I'm having this argument with my children at this very moment. Right. I'm saying, well, you don't go to bed at 4:30 in winter, dear, so you do have to go to bed while it's still a bit light in summer. And they're like, yeah, it don't matter. Don't matter. You're lying to me.
Animals.
Do you think he sends Phil Neville to bed at that time as well? Still holds that whip hand. When do you think...
Well, they're in bunk beds.
When do you think Paul Scholes sends his children to bed?
Oh, God. After he's nibbled there.
After his home DIY podiatry. Anyway, Paper Thrower 8379, calling out Gary Neville for some of his co-commentary. Dallas has brought that on himself. He's done that himself. It was madness from Dallas. And he actually saw this weasel, he describes him as, sneaking into the ground before kickoff, hood up, head down. Looked like the twat that he is.
He wasn't the only harbinger of doom in the stadium on Saturday, but obviously because of the... Somehow he's connected to both clubs and it's probably a stain on both our histories. But Michael Brown was in the press box doing co-commentary as well. It's never a good time when you see him. It's no wonder we went all championshipy and like dark things started happening. Michael Brown appears.
Not there for the peak of either club, you would probably say, for Michael Brown. At least
I think it was
his
fault. Would have been better if he wasn't there. Both clubs.
People weren't happy with the paper chuckers, by the way. Only a handful of nominations for the paper chuckers, but mainly the ones targeted at Rafinha, which didn't make any sense to me. The rest of it I thought was quite funny.
Yeah, that was, I mean, throwing it at Grealish at 3-0 down, you know, whatever, I suppose.
What else are you going to do?
I mean, Grealish gets a few nominations.
They could have been rocks, Michael.
For injuring Stuart Dallas, which is kind of harsh because he sort of doesn't. He is, for once, an innocent bystander.
He
had
a goal.
Grealish.
That tackle on him that he got booked for wasn't great.
My big grievance with Grealish is just that whole ragdoll act, you know, when the arms go flailing around. Just don't do it.
Yeah. If we're going to go on people who got early bookings as well, Firpo gets a couple as well. Sean Kay says, it's like starting a game with 9 men because not only does he have literally nothing, he also causes problems. He can't pass, he's slow, he can't tackle, gets booked early consistently. He's positionally diabolical and has nothing going forward. Also has a shit moustache.
No, he has a lovely moustache. Let's not get carried away.
Firpo is fucking dog shit. So if you're listening, Junior, oh, come on.
And he was,
we're right behind you.
Good luck for the final few
He
games.
Was making smoothies for kids last week on LUTV. He seemed like a very nice guy. So
sure, he's a nice guy.
Too much there, but
we can't. Don't humanize him, Moscow. We can't do that.
The booking in the first few minutes is a problem.
You two are both nice guys. I do not want to see you at left back. But yeah, he's done well not to get sent off. If we're going to give him credit, because he does like an early booking, and at Brighton he really did try to get sent off and failed.
And there was one attack in the second half that he was linking up quite well with Clicky and Jackie down the left in moments, but. Yeah, getting booked and then is not the best way to start against Raheem Sterling.
On a similar tip, Graham wants to nominate Rocky Jr. Says Rocky Jr. has obviously taken over Strouk's defending training this season. Bless him, Strouk, that is.
And well, while we're slagging off our own players as well, Rodrigo gets a fair few.
Pass it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sinking feelings. Has had a couple of decent games under Martial, was overpraised and now back to his usual self.
Although it's against Man City. They are quite good. They don't let you do your best stuff, do they?
And I suspect the reason he was put up front was so the ball would stick up there a little bit, because he's a bit more experienced and physical. So the ball breaking to him on halfway with a big empty pitch in front of him is probably not the bit of the job you wanted him necessarily
doing.
He should
have been able to handle that, though.
Yeah, he should
have. Just run towards the goal and pass it to your really good teammate so they can score.
A number of people didn't like Jesse and his on-pitch antics at the end. Costa Blanca suggests that he was acting like we'd won the AFC Championship game. A number of people not liking oil as well, which came as a bit of a surprise. Gouldy suggesting that the oil specifically of the Arabian Peninsula has been a problem in this one. Would like to say they've got gas as well in Abu Dhabi. Mm. So maybe we just broaden this out to like all hydrocarbons and the plankton that put them there.
Killing the planet and the Premier League.
Mm. Well, the NFTs kind of get rolled into this as well, because one of the fringe drawbacks of the fact that nothing is gained from those Ukraine shirts being made into NFT form is the amount of fossil fuels that the whole blockchain stuff uses. Like, it's just completely unnecessary. And one of the problems with the war in Ukraine is the effect it's having on energy around the world. So that's not helping.
Mind you, if we do go down, quite happily see Ellen Road turn into a server farm and never have to go there again. I feel at the minute.
Oh, dear.
Roy Hodgson, don't give a shit, does he? Feels bad, man, saying Roy Hodgson for not giving a flying fuck about Watford. And this means that they're obviously bending over for Burnley, and Burnley mentioned as well.
I can't criticise somebody for not caring about Watford.
Fair enough, yeah.
Maybe blame Elton John for caring too much.
Michael Jackson and Ben says, the ilkly arsehole. Michael Jackson and Ben, why couldn't Burnley have been bad for the rest of the season instead of every game a thriller? It's a Michael Jackson pun fest, isn't it? The board are getting picked out by a number of people as well. No signings in January.
House of Stouts picks out Autorads and the city of San Francisco and all of its residents.
The bastards.
Which is a little bit harsh. But yeah, going a whole season with no backups for Bamford or Phillips, who were mostly out, and scouting two international defenders in Llorente and Koch that can see four goals anytime they play together. Which they didn't play together on the weekend.
No.
And we still conceded four, so it's good that we've got replacements.
There will
be do
a,
the same thing.
A flower haired MP in San Francisco right now wondering what the fuck this has got to do with them.
But yeah, I think the full assessment of board criticism probably comes at the end of the season.
I was going to say we can keep the powder dry on that one for a few weeks, can't we? Because you never know. With our win at the Emirates at the weekend, we'll escape all this, won't
possibly,
we? We'll
yes.
be fine. Fat Frank and Chelsea obviously getting there. They get nominations every week since we've been mired in this bloody relegation battle with them. Chelsea, useless characters. And you know that they're just going to show up and play properly against us now, don't you, says Chris in London. And finally then, allowing football to be too important. Mad Ken Starling hates himself for letting this shit to get to me as much as it does.
Yeah, I must admit I'm on board with that because I've been quite unbearable the last kind of 48 hours. Just been sulking about the place.
Yeah.
So trying to stay out of people's way, mainly.
Is it football's turn to win this?
Football. Yeah.
Because none of it was good at the weekend. It's supposed to be like a pleasant pastime that gives us pleasure.
It brings us back to what Lucy said, all of it. All the things that were on Lucy's list. Football. The whole football.
The one thing she doesn't mention.
Military industrial complex.
She's forgotten to mention the football.
Yeah, give it to football.
Right,
fine.
Football's having it. But football's going to restore our faith in it this weekend at the Emirates.
Oh, redemption is always. I mean, it's villain of the week. We may love football again next week.
Let's do the Gaetano Berardi Hero of the Week award then right now.
And start with Bobby Eyebrows, who's nominated this podcast for trying to keep it positive. Sorry, Bobby.
We'll see what happens. The championship, though, Marvin is into the championship and it's wonderful football. It's exciting, isn't it? More games, bigger away allocations, no VAR.
It's all good stuff.
It is all good stuff.
Who's coming up?
Fulham?
Rotherham?
No,
they're going to pass us on the way up.
Oh, yeah.
At least season tickets won't be able to go up much more.
Well, they're already up, aren't they? You just get a few more games for your money.
Well, exactly, but they'll have to put the brakes on any kind of... I am trying to just pull any positives out.
The Paper Chuckers nominated as heroes as well for having a bit of fun at the expense of Jack Grealish.
I thought Grealish handled it pretty well as well, I have to say.
Don't say these things.
No. Okay.
No, fuck him.
I mean, he didn't go to ground, but if you really wanted to over egg the pudding with that, you could have let a piece of paper hit him and then gone to ground and rolled around like in a comedy way.
Yeah.
You know, in much the same way that Alisson caught that ball against Everton and then went to ground. Kind of.
It wouldn't have been funny though, because he actually does do it all the time.
That's true.
Grealish.
There's probably a point in there that people have said about Stuart Dallas's femur fracture is that it's the kind of injury you get in a car crash because of the velocity of something hitting something else. So Grealish got up from that absolutely fine. Exactly the same as he gets up from somebody just, you know, blowing on him as they run past. You know, if he can survive something that Stuart Dallas suffered a terrible injury in part of the same incident, he doesn't need to make such a big meal of all the other stuff, does he? I think he's harder than he lets on and he needs to show it. And also, I just don't like him.
Our fans then getting some love as well, particularly for the noise at the end and for sticking with it all season, says Ben.
It has generally been very, very positive. I think the Villa game, it turned a bit. I wasn't at Spurs, but you said that was more of an eerie atmosphere than anything, with people thinking this might be the end of Bielsa.
It was like a wake or a funeral. Yeah.
Yeah, I think Villa's the only time I can really remember proper anger this year when people are like, this is shit, I want no part of it.
I mean, you contrast the Spurs thing as well. because Spurs was a lunchtime kickoff, wasn't it? So you don't have people that have been in the pub for hours like they did against Man City, for example. 5:30 kickoff always helps the atmosphere, doesn't it? Mm. Like the South Stand in particular carried the torch well, I thought.
But, you know, early kickoffs, just start drinking early. It's possible. It's an option for people, isn't it? Mm. If you want a good atmosphere.
You could, I mean, the paper that they gave out was, it was pretty thick paper. You could have made it into, instead of paper aeroplanes, you could have made it into funnels and you pour the beer down.
Well,
efficiency in drinking.
On the paper, the marketing department...
I should clarify that, don't do that, kids.
Singled out by Ken Bates, stole my seat, or whoever was responsible for the missiles that rained down from the East Stand. Fucking brilliant idea.
Hail down NFTs next time. Will not be a problem. Oh, I need to mention, actually, a real life person as a hero. As I was walking down with the magazines and stuff, a bloke stopped me and he said, oh, this is Mr. and Sean, we listened to the podcast. He said, say hello, Sean. And Sean went, hello. Which was great. It was genuinely the best bit of my day.
Got quite a lot of bass in for a child.
Was a child Deitch. Yeah. He was good at it. Excellent. Well done.
Stuart Dallas as well, as Rowan says, poor fucker doesn't deserve this.
It feels like his many injuries have added up to this one somehow. He's been so indestructible for so long that when he does get injured, it had to be a bad one. So yeah, he'll be back. I'm sure he will. He'll be in training before the end of the season.
And 7 feet tall.
Firpo did get some hero nominations. Marky Mark had saying it's a bit of a stretch and I'm trying to be optimistic. But I did think going forward, he looked better than he has done.
I mean, Stuart Dallas.
There's a lot of caveats.
Stuart Dallas has broken his leg in pursuit of trying to keep Leeds United up. Junior Firpo not being abysmal at his job for a couple of occasions.
And Sean nominates him for not even trying to hide how bad a player he is. He's making it so obvious, meaning the club can now see we need a left back in summer.
I mean, there is a question around that as well. Would you like to see us sign a new left back?
Just get Alioski back. That's the thing. Everyone wanted rid of Alioski. Well, they didn't. Everyone thought we needed someone better than Alioski, and we've failed.
Clicky gets a mention as well. So does Luke Ayling. Joffe for putting himself about. Marsh gets a surprising nomination from Lord Rogerio. It says, Darko Marsh, his backyard kickabout style will be perfect for the second division. We've reached that stage, haven't we now? The gallows humour.
Yeah, and I mean, that's quite positive compared to Joe's, which is the impending climate crisis that will render all football and indeed life meaningless. Hoping it comes soon and I can forget I ever got so invested in this tin pot shite sport where overpaid characters kick a fucking bag of air around a fucking green rectangle.
I think that sums it up just about, doesn't it?
On Cody Drama, one player of the year at Cardiff, so well done to him.
Yeah.
And everybody who voted for him.
I think that pretty much covers all of it off, doesn't it? Who's having it?
Stuart.
Yeah.
Get well soon.
It's not just for, I mean, it's hard to nominate somebody as a hero for breaking a leg. It's not necessarily a heroic action, but the last 122 games have been pretty heroic. We wouldn't be here if he hadn't done all that. The Derby County playoff semi-final would have been even worse if he hadn't been so good. And he's had a tough year already with the stuff that was going on at the start of the year in his personal world, so he needs cheering up, doesn't he?
Yeah, and it's in keeping with the defiance that we saw from the crowd at the end of the game as well in supporting the team despite the adversity, that Jesse Marsh then jumped on and pumped his fist.
Now. No need, let's just be nice about Stuart.
Yep.
And positive about his recovery, and that we will use this bad moment as an inspiration. Bamford is going to look at his femur and he's going to think, my foot isn't so bad. They need me. I'm going to go out there, score all the goals, and then drive over to Burnley. And he will...
Pollute the water,
but also he's going to torch that Royal Deitch pub in memory of the times that Deitch had a go at him for his parents bringing him to training. All that kind of stuff.
His dad could drive him there to torch him. That'd be a nice ending.
Yes. He's going to make it personal that way. And then... I was going to suggest like he might drive over and like start having a go at Lampard, but like, he'd probably just have like a glass of wine with him or something.
One thing I hope, my one hope for the remainder of this season, because I feel like we've been poking Jesse Marsh a bit with a stick because he's just an easy target because, well, he made himself a bit of an easy target, didn't he, by doing the whole fist pumpy stuff. I hope in another couple of weeks' time he's doing that loads because we've stayed up at Brentford and then he'll be entitled to do it.
I'd still quite like us to stay up at Brentford and to just go down the tunnel. Stay out of this. And then bring Stuart Dallas out, yeah, and we'll enjoy his company.
And then actually, they could go out there and sing "Mind the Gap," Thomas Frank, "Mind the Gap" again. couldn't they? Because we'd obviously never finish below them again.
If Marsh does want to get into my good books, he has been talking about wanting to kind of increase or decrease the pace on the touch lines. If he headbutts Thomas Frank.
Yeah.
I'm into that.
Okay. We've
got Burnley being torched by Bamford, Frank being filled in by Marsh. Anybody else? Maybe Dallas can set about Frank Lampard with his crutches.
I want us to remember this moment as we crown broken-legged Stuart Dallas our hero of the week as the low point of this season when we thought it couldn't get any worse because it might get better.
I've thought that a few times this year. I've thought it can't get any worse.
Well, have we not bottomed out yet?
We keep plumbing those depths, don't we?
I'm not even sure this is the worst. The whole Spurs Bielsa sacking thing was a huge moment out of the blue, wasn't it?
It could get better.
Or worse.
It could get better. There you go. Then let's wrap it up on that positive, happy note. And we could, in a couple of weeks, when we wrap up the season, we'll go, ha-ha, weren't we miserable 2 weeks ago?
Yeah. I mean, we've just finished the Match Ball 30, and on that, a few weeks ago, we'd lost 4-0 at Man City, and then a couple of weeks later, we were champions.
Maybe we could be Premier League champions this year.
Yes, I would settle for probably 17th.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, there you go. That wraps up the show for this week. Thank you for watching and listening. We'll see you next time.
The Match Ball.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.